I'm Scott Mullet, and I'm here at the beautiful Woodmark Hotel along the shores of Lake Washington in Kirkland. We're about to sit down with all seven of our city council people to find out just a little bit more about each of them. Please join us. Dave, thanks again for coming and being with us here this morning at the Woodmark Hotel.
Glad to be here.
The first question, what was your first job?
I was a, before I was old enough to get a newspaper route, I mowed lawns mm-hmm. as a kid. Mm-hmm. And spent just about every day out with a gallon of gas and a lawnmower, walking down the street and seeing if anyone wanted their lawn mowed. Mm-hmm. Then when I turned 12 years old, I was able to get a paper route. In fact, had after a year or so, had two and continued to mow lawns. So it was an interesting learning of entrepreneurship.
Very entrepreneurial, very yeah. entrepreneurial. Did you have your favorite customers who would ask you back kind of year
right.
after year for that service?
There were regulars, and then there were occasional ones. And I, the most memorable one, I remember walking up and asking if they'd like their lawn mowed, and they said yes. I said, about how much? And I looked around the front, and they said, I think about $2 would be fine. I learned after that to walk around to the back because the back was quite expansive. I learned a lesson on that, to evaluate the job a little bit more closely.
Right, right. All angles of the,
right.
Of the job. Now, would you also go in and say, judging by your lawn, I think you might need my services.
And that's why I was knocking on the door.
Yeah. I can see you don't have anyone taking care of
that's
your lawn.
Right.
Maybe I can help you out there.
That's right.
That's great. So the next one we have there, shifting gears pretty dramatically, what song always makes you happy when you hear it?
I think the Star Spangled Banner always makes me happy. Mm-hmm. In the occasions where it's played, they're joyous occasions. At the beginning of sporting events, their anticipation. Mm-hmm. And that one comes to mind as sort of always being the upbeat, but the sort of taking a moment for reflection in anticipation of something to come.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you have any particular event or whatever where you felt the most emotion from hearing the Star Spangled Banner?
There was a time I was in the military in Washington, D.C. for a ceremony. It mm-hmm. was a ceremony for the organization I was with, and it was pretty exhilarating because you don't go and get honors at the nation's capital very often.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So our next, if you were trapped in a TV show, which TV show would you like to be trapped in?
Trapped in a TV show?
Yes.
The one that comes to, the contemporary one that comes to mind is The Greatest Race, mm-hmm. where people are going around the world solving different challenges.
Amazing Race.
Amazing
right?
Race,
yes,
that's
right.
it, that's
uh-huh.
it. I think that one would be fun. It's a challenge, it's exhilarating, and you get to try your various skills throughout the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you were a participant on Amazing Race, where would you want to go? What challenges would you like to do in that environment?
Generally, places I haven't been, and I've seen a number of them. In the military, I got around a significant part of the world, but I haven't been to India. I haven't been to Australia, Africa, and most of South America. Mm-hmm. So those areas I think would be really interesting to be challenged in.
Right. So let's say you were a producer for that show. Maybe what challenges would you like to see people do that, or what were some of the favorite challenges that people had to do in that show?
I've not seen it that many times, mm-hmm. but one of the ones where they were solving riddles in some of the ancient structure, uh-huh. Where they were having to solve riddles about how to come to a solution or get a clue.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was fun to see how different people approached it, and some immediately were able to come to the conclusion, and others had to really grapple with it.
Mm-hmm. You think in terms of are there any zingers, or you know, in terms of maybe your inside knowledge for some of the places you've been that you might be able to construct a very challenging type riddle for, you know, as you mentioned, you've traveled and been to a number of places that you could construct?
Not offhand. I think that would look. I think the beauty of a number of theirs is they're very well thought out, and it causes you to have to go through a deliberation process and come to a conclusion,
mm-hmm.
in the more challenging couple of episodes I've seen.
Right. How about even a location, you know, a place that you've been to that you think would be a very interesting place for them to have some segments of that show?
The demilitarized zone in Korea.
Oh, yeah.
Was one of the most challenging for me, and is one of the most volatile places I think that exists still.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been the national and international challenge of America, of the United Nations, and of where two really major oppositions in the world come together, mm-hmm. and are at great tension.
Mm-hmm.
So I think raising an awareness of that, mm-hmm. Could be significant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would certainly, I think, raise the participants' anxiety
level. Yes.
Make for some good TV, probably, too.
Particularly since it's strung with minefields.
Exactly.
And
that's what I mean, yeah. So you're really going to want to make sure you solve that riddle right.
That's
because
right.
It's more than just a TV show. So we're gonna move now into the who has been the biggest influence on you?
I think certainly my parents. Have given me the values and the orientation and the challenge of my life to live it in a certain way, and I really honor them for that and appreciate that upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
So that. I think without a doubt, I've had great bosses. I've learned a lot of things from various people, but the foundation was built at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And home, was that growing up in Tennessee?
East Tennessee, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you could have any superpower, so here you go, superpower.
Okay.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I think a superpower that is rather than something that's fantastical. A superpower that has influenced me has been bosses that get the best out of their people, mm-hmm. that are able to bring people together. And get the best contribution out of them, and that is almost magical.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a couple of great leaders that I've worked for that were able to do that for not just me, but for an organization, and everyone felt like they were contributing significantly,
mm-hmm.
To making the organization better. And to do what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
The one particular boss was ended up being the secretary to the vice chief of staff of the Army, General Parker. He was the commander in Korea, mm-hmm. With an aviation group, and I was the planning officer. And he was able to give you challenges and to let you do what you could do best and let you go with it. Check back in, but you felt like you were able to contribute the best that you could, and if you didn't contribute the best that you could, the whole organization would be let down. So you wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. That's a superpower.
Oh, absolutely.
Somebody able to do that and do it for the organization, and I'm just really glad that the Army saw how good he was, and he was able to continue to get promoted.
Because it doesn't always happen that way in life.
That's true.
But that is, you know, that is a, you know, even in comic book fashion, this is a power that is granted to someone who can make others better and who can bring out the best in other people. So maybe Marvel Comics would have interest in coming up with a new X-Men that might have that. That's great. If you could have, so this is a hypothetical, if you could have personally witnessed any single event in history, so you go back as far as you'd like, what would you have liked to have been there to see?
I think the Continental Congress, mm-hmm. the forming of our nation, I think would be worth a lifetime to... experience the honest and sincere debate that went on, people having challenges and factions, but still coming together for the common good. It took a long time. It took enormous amounts of leadership in so many ways. But I think that that's sort of the crucible of our national history, mm-hmm. And that I think would just be absolutely wonderful to be able to see that.
Mm-hmm. Have you read a lot of the texts surrounding that, or any of McCullough's?
Some, but not near as much. You know, uh-huh. And every time I get a chance to read something, you learn something new. It becomes even more miraculous that we exist as we do today. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing that things came together and those group of people, or that group of people, were able to put together such foundations for us. I'm just in awe.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the books that comes to mind for me is the John Adams, the more recent
right.
John Adams
mm-hmm.
Biography, and I love the story too of John Adams and Thomas Jefferson.
Right.
You talk about the kind of infighting. They were together, and then there was the big infighting, and
right.
but then they closed out their lives with this wonderful string of 5 years or so of correspondence.
Right.
And reconciled, and so they were able to look at the greater good, and then at the end reconcile. And even though there was a lot of
and that correspondence is so dear to how we view our country too. The lessons in there is just great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So, what do you think the secret to a good life is?
I guess a good beginning. As I referred earlier, a good foundation that my family gave me, a chance to feel that you're important, that you're valued, and that you can contribute, and that you have the right values to lead a good life. Mm-hmm. I've never been satisfied where I'm at, and that dissatisfaction keeps me moving towards something else, mm-hmm. Something better. And it's, I guess for me, is that desire to continue to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I can sort of hear the echoes of my mother in that, the wanting to continue to to gain knowledge, to gain ability, and to improve, to do better tomorrow.
Going back to the influences.
Right, exactly.
Before of your parents.
Yeah.
Ah, well, we're right back here to the Continental Congress, maybe, but I'll leave that to you. What historic person would you have liked to have met?
Well, if I was able to go to the Continental Congress, I wouldn't. That would have satisfied me for that end. I think I would like to meet Gandhi.
Hmm.
Such a powerful person with such humility and an ability to challenge people that are much more powerful than he is, but able to achieve a result of moving mountains.
Mm-hmm.
The way he looked at at the things that he had to undertake, or chose to undertake, because he chose to undertake that, and how he did that is amazing to me, and I think it's a model that deserves a lot more study.
Mm-hmm.
Close second would be Martin Luther King.
Yes, yes.
Similar kind of, and I think that he learned from Gandhi. But that's having had a military career, spent over 20 years in the Army, that approach is something different than I understand. And I'd like to come to understand that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how powerful those two individuals were without having the power.
Right.
In terms of how, you know, our society generally regards power.
And our society can learn from those examples like that,
mm-hmm.
as to how we come together and how we relate to one another, and in fact come to understand the pain of one another.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important. I think that's really important.
How do you think our society could do better to come to that type of understanding?
I think we have to take time to pause, to be a bit introspective, and to understand that other people have different views or different opportunities in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be the same. Here on the east side, here we sit out and look out at the beautiful Lake Washington in some classical setting. Not many people have that opportunity to take this as something that they do regularly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that have doing the best they can, just don't have the same advantages that I've had, the opportunities that I've had, the people that have opened doors for me. And I think it's each of us needs to take a look at when we can help and open a door for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that kind of dealing with other people from different perspectives in life and coming to understand their position and their needs may be different than yours, then I think you begin to understand then how to view things more holistically than just your single experience viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll come up to our final question then in our time here together. And this is a Kirkland-specific question, so this is going to go right to, you've been a city council person for almost 10 years now.
That's right.
And so we're going to say, okay, forget about the past 10 years. If you were to look ahead 10 years from now, what would your hope for Kirkland be?
I would hope that we would be, and 10 years is not that far, far down the road. We've cast a lot of things now that that in fact will take 10 years to build. I would think in 10 years we will have done well in incorporating the annexation area that we've just had a vote on recently, that we will be a city that has come together and come together well, that the economic center in Totem Lake will have been built, and we will have a grand ribbon cutting, and great things are going on in Totem Lake with a rejuvenated and a renewed mall area, and all of the businesses around in that area. I would hope that we would be planning for light rail coming to Totem Lake from Redmond at that time, and maybe coming also across the rebuilt 520 bridge. I think those are things that we need to make sure that that happen. Those are fundamental things that I think we've got to make sure that happen. I hope that there is still a good, strong neighborhood movement of folks that are concerned and participate in their neighborhoods in the annexation area and in current Kirkland, because that's a good way of communicating needs and coming together to solve problems. And the city, it helps the city relate to groups of folks that they can try to address needs in neighborhoods. I would hope that the 85th Street corridor is very well rebuilt, that we have a thriving set of businesses there after we get finished, and it may take 10 years. It's taken 10 years so far to get the plans going to have that rejuvenated. I hope our downtown is modernized, but not that much different. Mm-hmm. We will have built out probably the antique mall site will have been built out. The transit center will ultimately be completed. But I hope that it doesn't feel very different. It feels better, if anything. In our downtown, because that's the heart of our city. I think always be uptown is what I'm starting to call Totem Lake. I think will be a bustling center of commerce, but I think the downtown will always be the heart of the city. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hope to have that we have more transit, which makes it easier to get around the east side, and also getting into greater parts of Kirkland, into neighborhoods where we can have better bus service and we don't have to depend on taking your car everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we are thoughtful enough to do some rejuvenation in the Marina Park area. We've had plans, several sets of plans come through, but I think that we can do better there than what we've got with a big parking lot. I think we can do better in that area. But generally, I hope not too much of the feel of Kirkland changes, mm-hmm. Except for the feel of Totem Lake Mall area. And I think that's important. I think that there's a genuine sense of hometown that you feel comfortable in Kirkland, and I want to make sure that we don't lose that we don't urbanize to the point that that sense gets lost. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's my general view, and that we have a very efficient and hopefully the same city manager that we'll hire next year will still be in doing a good job 10 years from now.
Long-term continuity.
Yes.
Long-term continuity.
Really.
And as long as Marina Park still allows everyone to do the polar plunge on January 1st.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, that's critical. You got to keep that component in there.
Okay.
Well, great. Well, Dave, thank you very much.
You're
welcome. I appreciate your time here this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.